First Peter chapter 1, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. First Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Bible. Lord, thank you for that joy that you provide that only can come from you. And the Bible gives us this description of it. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so I pray, Lord, that we would be aware of this and, Lord, understand it and tap into it. And thank you, dear God, for the gift of it. And I pray, Lord, that your people will be helped tonight and encouraged. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you very much for standing. You know, there's a couple of things that the Bible talks about. One of them is peace that passeth all understanding. Now, let's think about that. Peace that passeth all understanding. So it's not just peace. It's a very specific kind of peace. It's the kind of peace that people that do not have it can't understand. And even when you're experiencing it, it's hard for you to understand it because it makes no sense. You know, I think if you were to maybe poll Americans and American Christians especially and say one of the two things that you probably for your soul's sake need the most, it would be peace that passeth all understanding and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Folks, you cannot have a whole lot of other things, but if you have those two things, that's a pretty good way to live. And so how can we say joy unspeakable and full of glory without those of us that's raised in a church and used to singing the old hymns? Think about the song, Joy Unspeakable. I found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need while I sit and learn at Jesus' feet. I am free, yes, free indeed. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace. There's the two of them, joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near. I can see his smiling face. I have found the joy no tongue can tell. How its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well springing up within my soul. Hey, folks, that's what God wants you to have. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what God wants you to have. Peace that passeth all understanding. Both are available to every single person that is sitting in this room today. And God is not withholding it from you. It's available to you. But I think that we have to understand it. And I think that we have to want it and pray for it. And we have to understand it's not something we can conjure up. Okay, this isn't some type of a mind game or a mind trick or some emotion we build up. It's a gift of God. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about joy unspeakable because it is available. And I wish for you to have it. I'm not going to preach on that peace that passeth all understanding. Maybe we ought to tackle that subject next sometime. But I'd love for you to have it. It's a wonderful place when you get into Christian life where despite the circumstances, despite whatever you may be facing, despite the difficulties, there's two things that you possess because God is your God and Jesus is your Savior and you have this rightness with him, come on, nothing between my soul and the Savior, and you're in his will, and you've learned to trust him. And folks, listen to me, circumstances can't touch either one of these. So let's talk about joy unspeakable tonight. And I want to interpret it from the context of the scriptures. Verse number 6 and 7 talks about testings and trials. And I want you to understand, folks, unspeakable joy is available in the midst of testings and trials. Matter of fact, that's where you'll find it. Because there's a difference between happiness and joy.
Yes, right.
The word happiness actually comes from the same root word as happenings. And so happiness is based on happenings.
Right.
But joy is something totally different.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so something can good can happen and it can make me happy, folks. But that means if something bad happens, then my happiness is affected by the circumstances.
Right.
And yet joy is a totally different thing. In verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now wait, think about this. Greatly rejoice. When? Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Preacher, that don't make sense. I mean, how in the world can they be going through manifold, multiple temptations, trials? Going to talk about the trials of your faith. So they're not going through easy times. They're going through times of testings. They're going through times of trials. Maybe they're under a satanic attack. And yet the Bible says you can greatly rejoice, joy coming from the same root word as joy. And listen, it might touch my happiness, but I'm sorry. I don't lean into my happiness. I don't rely on happiness. Because then I feel like that if the only way to have it is to always have something good happening. And hey, in case you haven't noticed, that's not life, okay? And so joy is totally different. You can greatly rejoice even though you're going through a season of manifold temptation. It goes on to say that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And when you have a biblical understanding of trials, it won't steal your joy.
Right.
If you have a biblical understanding of trials, it won't steal your joy. You know why? Because you realize that trials are necessary.
Yeah.
Trials ought to be considered by Christians as something that's much more precious than gold. And that is not usually how we view trials.
Right.
But folks, I'm talking about joy. It's a wonderful thing that no matter what God's asked you to go through, you can learn to trust him. And you know what? You can say, Lord, I may not like what is happening and it might affect my happiness, but it can't touch my joy. And by the way, I'm going to choose to rejoice in the midst of manifold temptation. Listen, you can live this way. You can live this way. You know, I think it's a very shallow Christianity that walks in one Sunday all happy because good happenings have come into your life. And a Sunday later, you come in under a dark cloud and a funk and you're pouting and because the happenings changed. Listen to me, we're supposed to have joy no matter what the happenings are, and it is available. So the Bible talks about that there is heaviness that comes with manifold temptation. So the Bible's honest about here. It's not that we enjoy it. It's not that we go, oh, yay, good, trials, tribulations are coming. And it can bring a heaviness to your life, but it cannot steal your joy. Manifold temptation is a result of trying of your faith. By the way, this time is necessary. And the Bible says valuable. Listen, I can't grow if I'm living on spiritual easy street all the time. My faith is never going to grow until it's tested. So every time it's tested, I got to view that as a gift of God, a very valuable thing that's happening, more precious than gold, because if I keep my heart right, and if I let God do his perfect work, and if I don't let it steal my joy, and if I just keep putting my faith and trust in Christ, and if I re-examine the word of God and make sure that I'm squared away and right. And is God trying to get my attention? And what's he trying to change in me? And what's he trying to grow in me? You know, folks, I know and I understand if you're not there, but you know what? When something comes into my life that's negative. There is, yes, the heaviness of the moment that this is coming into my life. But I'm just telling you, there's an underlying excitement because I feel like God's about to teach me something. And listen, I don't want to plateau. I don't understand Christians that have grown to a certain part and then they just want to stay here. And the only way to keep growing is part of the thing that God uses to grow us is testings and temptations and trial. And you know, I mentioned this morning, you know, I mean, it'll be first week of August. 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. Listen, I wouldn't trade the last 4 years for anything. Do you understand how many ways God has grown me because of that? And by the way, you know what? There was a heaviness that came with the diagnosis. And there were some difficulties that I had to go through as I went through the different types of treatments. But I'm going to tell you something. I really believe this. I don't think I ever lost my joy. It's okay if you're the happenings, happiness Christian, if you've only been saved for a year or so. Well, good night. At some point, your relationship with God, if you're growing and growing in grace, you know what? As you grow in the Lord and you begin to understand more and more about the Bible and what he's going to ask us to go through and for our own good and our own benefit and to grow us and refine us and further prepare us to be used for his glory, what have we got to complain about? Excuse me, American Christian, what have you got to complain about? There's just too much mumbling and grumbling. There's just too much coming in, setting up, sitting down, and give me this, you know, look like, good luck, Pastor. I dare you to bless me tonight. Where's the happiness? Where's the joy? Where's the excitement? You know, but you don't understand all that I'm going through. Oh, my goodness sakes. Did you eat today? This is all Christians all over the globe that didn't eat today.
Right, that's right.
All right, do you have a roof over your head?
Amen.
I mean, we're such a... Oh, I know, this is what some of you like. You want it when I come up and feel sorry for you, but somebody needs to stop feeling sorry for you. Somebody needs to tell you there's a victory way to live.
Amen.
And you know what? God's not a bad God because he allowed a trial to come into your life. You know, sometimes I stand up here and I say, I feel like I need to advocate for God. I just feel like I beg you to take him off trial. Okay?
Right.
You know, he's either a good God or not a good God based on what's happening. You know, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And so why don't we take him off trial? If he's allowed something to come into your life, then it's to grow you. Folks, you know, I wrote a chapter about this in Mountain Lessons, the book that most of you haven't read, and I wrote an entire chapter on perspective. You know, folks, listen to me. I and you can say, well, okay, say whatever you want to, but I promise you, most of my Christian life, almost all my Christian life, I have willingly, voluntarily pushed outside of my comfort zone. Continually pushing outside of my comfort zone. I think comfort is probably the greatest enemy of Christian growth.
Amen. Yeah.
And yes, most people, they think that is the goal to attain, is just to get somewhere where I am comfortable.
Wow.
Comfortable don't grow you.
Right.
Comfortable don't allow you to experience things beyond what you know. You know what, folks, listen to me. Embrace hardship. I'm going to take it a step further. Seek hardship.
Good.
Try something difficult. Try something outside of what you've ever tried. I think it was Reno Likens that used to say, when's the last time you tried something for the first time? When's the last time you tried something for the first time? Something good, something healthy, something holy.
Right.
But stretch yourself. You see, every experience of life is allowed by God to make us into who we are. And you're not going to, listen, the people that laugh the most all a lot of times are the ones that have cried the most.
Good.
You know, folks, you're not going to really understand the joy of victory unless you've faced defeat.
Right.
Come on, happiness and your ability to enjoy happiness probably is dependent on how much sorrow you've gone through in life. I mean, all of these things God allows and are weaved together into the fabric of our lives. They make us who we are. Trials, the Bible says this, I didn't write it. Trials are more precious than gold. So God's saying it's a valuable thing that I'm asking you to experience here. It's a good thing. It's going to grow you. And I think about this when I talk about perspective in my book on mountain lessons. I mean, how can you appreciate warmth if you've never been cold? And some of you say, well, I've been cold. No, I mean cold. I mean cold. I mean cold. There's folks, you know, come on, some of our elderly people in this room. You know what? You can still talk to a generation that was raised without air conditioning and many of them without heat, except for a little bit of a wood stove, you know, that would be banked at night. And you know what? When they woke up, you know what? Let me tell you something. They didn't want to come out of the covers. Everybody was waiting for the first person to get up and stoke the fire. And that generation that experienced that growing up, when they walk over now to a thermostat and go like this, I'm just telling you, there's an appreciation for it that a modern generation does not understand. And so think about that. Now, listen, I don't get personal here, but you know what? You may not appreciate indoor plumbing if you've always had it. But you grow up in the middle of the night, come on, in the wintertime, making that, come on, that well-worn path back and forth. Come on, Brother Joe, he knows, to the outhouse. You know what? You walk into a modern bathroom, and you're going to experience a level of joy. What I'm saying is, listen, your sense of appreciation and your perspective and your depth of thankfulness is only going to grow in proportion to the hardships that God allows you to face in life. And so, listen, you're just looking at a guy that gets really, really happy and joyful over little things that most people take for granted. And it's not because I was raised three generations ago. It's because I have sought the hardships. I seek them out. I don't complain when they come. I embrace it when they come because, you know what? It's going to grow me and it's going to change my perspective. I mean, how can you appreciate a meal if you've never been hungry? I mean, really hungry. I think that's why if you've never done it, please look up here and listen to this, Pastor. The Bible teaches us on the importance of the discipline of fasting. And I think there's a lot of reasons for it. We understand that it's connected to prayer in the Bible, but it's connected to a lot of other things. For one thing, it's connected to, how about this idea? The idea of just telling your flesh no, of reminding your flesh who's in charge. All right, we're way too flesh driven. We're way too flesh controlled. Okay, you fast, you know, and you fast for 6 days, and I've done it. And then you get in line on the sixth day at a McDonald's and pick the longest line you can. And then you look at all of that, you walk up and the lady says, "Can I help you?" And you smile and say, "No, thank you, ma'am." And you go back and get in your car and fast another day. You say, "That's craziness." Well, how are you doing controlling your flesh? How are you doing? Who's running the thing? Body, soul, and spirit. Which one of those is running the thing? And if you can't say no, I mean, come on, you just walk through a store, you know, and you smell popcorn. Or you, come on, back when the mall, is there any malls left? And there was a mall and the Cinnabon place. And I mean, it's average American. And it's getting quiet. Amen. This is good. Hey, enjoy a Cinnabon, but why don't you make the decision of when you're going to have it and stop letting the food make the decision for you? I'm just saying there's a way to live. There's a better way to live. You see, most of us don't know what hunger is. And that's why we don't stop and taste our food. And we don't appreciate our food. I mean, come on. You ever watch the average American eat? Do we even chew anymore? Do we take the time to appreciate it? Listen, I want to just say this. It's an epidemic. Are we even bowing our head and thanking God for our meals before we eat it? And that used to be the basis. I mean, everybody that was a Christian and some that weren't would have enough decency to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've been really hungry, you sit down to a good meal, I'm going to tell you something. You won't rush through it. You'll savor it. And you'll enjoy it. And it'll bring a joy to your soul. You know why? Because you know what it is to be hungry. All right? We doing okay? How can you enjoy a cold glass of water if you've never thirsted? Those who have endured the most pain are those who appreciate most a pain-free day. Let me say it again. Those who have endured the most pain are those who appreciate most a pain-free day. And a lot of us live every single day of our life pain-free. I'm not saying we don't have this little thing or that little thing, but I'm going to tell you something. That's not true of everybody in this congregation. I mean, when Sister Dolores Clay makes it to church, folks, it's an incredible physical effort and feat. Okay? And I don't listen, I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. I mean, thank God for your health and thank God for your good health, but young people, don't take it for granted. Because you're not always going to have it. Okay? And so, you know, okay, so why would God allow me to experience pain so you can appreciate it when you don't have it? Okay, so think about that. And it's all through the Bible. You know, you get into Luke chapter number 18, and Jesus comes across a blind man. And he's beseeching the Lord because he wants to see. He's never seen his entire life, and it's been his dream, and he's thought about it. So, so he comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. In Luke 18, and Jesus said to him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now, folks, listen to me. I don't get up every morning, open my eyes, and look around and go, woohoo! I can see, and neither to you do you. Don't look at me like that. Neither do you. You know why? Because we take it for granted. Yes. You know why? Because we've never been blind. But you talk to people in our church. You know, I was kidding around in Sunday school this morning, and I said I used to go back. Dad's last few years, he'd be studying something as pastor, and I would knock on his office door, and he'd be in there, and he had this big magnifying glass that had a little light with it, and he'd be looking in his concordance or looking in at his Bible, and I remember thinking to myself, my goodness sakes, and by the way, I can relate now. Guess what I have on my desk in the office? Guess what I have on my desk where I pay the bills? And it's because what's happening is every year, and this is a conspiracy. They keep making the fonts smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller on everything that they're producing. And they're forcing us, all of us. I mean, many of you probably have the, never mind. Anyway, but all of a sudden, I'm having an appreciation for something that, listen, I just want you to stop and think a little bit. The next time you're asked to go through something, let's stop murmuring and complaining. I mean, God said it's more valuable than gold. You want unspeakable joy, learn to be excited when you're in the midst of manifold temptation, to have the joy of the Lord. You may not like the circumstances, but you're excited about what the result's going to be. You're excited about what you're going to learn. Come on, you're excited because God has trusted me with this. And he must have some faith in the fact that I can handle this, because the Bible says he's not going to give us more than we can bear. And wonder what I'm going to learn, and wonder whose path I'm going to cross because of this. And stop looking, come on, at trials as some kind of a punishment, and start looking for the opportunity that it brings. And so in the Gospels, this blind man was the one that was shouting and rejoicing that he could see. Trials make it possible for us to experience a level of joy that the Bible calls unspeakable and full of glory. Number two. Unspeakable joy is available to those who choose to live by faith. Now look, if you will, in verse number 8. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet, look at that little phrase there, yet believing. Now, how do you get there, preacher? It's one thing to talk about it, but how do you get there? You got to learn to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So I have faith in the goodness of my God. I have faith in the watch care of my Heavenly Father. I have faith that if He's going to allow something in my life, He has a purpose. I have faith in the goodness and the grace and mercy of God. I have faith that He may ask me to walk through some tough things, but He's never asked me to walk through them alone. And by the way, you'll sense the presence of God in the midst of manifold temptations in a way you won't when everything's going good. He's there. He's close by, and he has his full attention focused on you, and He's there, a very present help in time of trouble. And so you have to learn to choose to live by faith. Now, generation who's been told, listen, this is what they've been told: if you cannot see it, you should not believe in it. And that's the people that are worshiping science instead of God. If it can't be proved in the laboratory, if it's not observable, then you shouldn't believe it. You know, I'm sorry, but if you're going to have a relationship with God, if you're going to have a close relationship with God, then you have to have that relationship through faith. Right. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Yes. And God has, listen, He's not going to show up and manifest Himself in a visible manner. If you believe in God, you're going to believe by faith. If you get saved, you're going to have to get saved by faith. But the Bible doesn't just talk about saving faith. It's talking about living faith. The justified ones, the ones that have been saved, the just shall live by faith. And so I may not see Him and I may not understand the circumstance, but I can yet believe. Yet believing. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Listen, we can't be saved without faith. That's what the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. You know the scriptures. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So listen, I had faith enough in the finished work of Christ. I had faith enough in God and in Jesus Christ and His death. I wasn't there to see it. His burial, I wasn't there to see it. His resurrection, I wasn't there to see it. And so if I'm going to believe it, I have to believe it by faith. Now, folks, we're willing to exercise faith in order to be saved, but are we willing to exercise faith when it comes to the trials and tribulations of life? Right. We cannot live the Christian life without faith. Romans 1:7, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, which means that there's going to be a lot of things happen, and you know what? I'm not going to understand it, but you know what? I've got faith in the goodness of God and the provision of God, and that God's going to see us through it. And now I'm going to tell you why this produces joy unspeakable. If you can get here and you can put that, just decide, I'm going to stop questioning God. I'm going to take God off trial. And if something comes to my life, instead of sitting around feeling sorry for myself, there's going to be an excitement about it. There's going to be, okay, God's stirring something. God's wanting to do something. God's teaching me something. I better look for an opportunity. I mean, folks, I stood up here and I said it, and I'm not sure that you believe it, but I promise you it's true. You know, just a few months ago when two of my nurses drove all the way down from Indianapolis and walked up here and knelt down, and this preacher got to kneel between them and lead them to Christ. And I said that night, I would go through the whole cancer thing again for that. And you're sitting there thinking, well, no, he don't really mean that. I really do. Amen. You see, folks, God's ways, not our ways. Right, right. We're not always going to understand it. And it's not going to be always, listen, it's not going to be always easy. But you see, when God brought this into our lives, there was, yes, okay, you know, the gut punch, you know, the first 24 hours of wow. And then, you know what, there was me and my wife the next day, and And I reach out and I hold her hand and I say, if this is part of God's journey, let's bring glory to God.
Amen.
God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. Listen, that's the way we need to start reacting, okay? And with that, when you just totally put your trust in God in the midst of something that you don't understand, and at that point, folks, we didn't know a lot of things. I mean, I can remember that we just, you know, celebrated, you know, I think it was just right after our 38th anniversary, and I'm literally thinking to myself, am I going to get to be married to my wife for 40 years? I mean, we didn't know in the early days of this diagnosis. The initial diagnosis was that this wasn't a big deal. And after the first round of chemo, all of a sudden it wasn't God. Now it is a big deal. And now all of a sudden there's a lot of question marks. And when they sit down and say, well, there's only a few things left we can do. And all of us, are you listening? And you know what? Is our lives in God's hands? And can we trust him to know best? And can we ever get, I mean, think about this. Well, can we get to where Paul did, where he said, Lord, I just want you to be magnified.
Right.
And if you're magnified through my life, then great. If you're magnified through my death, it doesn't matter. I just want you to be magnified. I mean, it's easy to do the Christian talk and quote the verses. But when it's you in that moment, can we live it?
Good.
Can we have that level of trust and faith in God? Because I think when we do, we shine brighter as a testimony for Christ than we ever have. Listen, folks, I don't think the lost world watches Christians any more than when they see that we're going through intense testing. Okay, they were talking about God when everything was going good. Let's see how their faith in God holds up now.
Right.
And you've got a better chance of influencing people for Christ in the midst of manifold temptation that you ever will have in a normal situation.
Yes.
And so, I hope this is helping you, all right? Unspeakable joy is available to those who choose to live by faith. So I'm choosing to live by faith. Okay, we cannot experience great victory without faith. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith, preacher, I don't know how to overcome this. The just shall live by faith. Yeah, but I don't understand what God's doing. The just shall live by faith. Yeah, but I don't like this. The just shall live by faith. Well, I didn't see this coming, and I've got 1,000 questions. The just will live by faith. You know, God's not under any obligation to explain why he's allowing certain things. You know, I preached just recently on Job, and one of the things I said was, you know, God's having a conversation with the devil, and God is giving the devil permission, and now these things are going to come into Job's life, and God did not choose to rush down to earth ahead of the devil and say, now, Job, let me explain to you what's happening. Okay? And I think of that often, because when God doesn't show me his purposes, it does not mean that he does not have purposes. And our responsibility is not to understand. Our responsibility is to bring glory to God.
Amen.
Job didn't know. Job did not know that God was going to write an entire book of the Bible and put it in the scriptures and share the story with generation after generation of generation. And that man was going to be an encouragement to millions and millions and millions and millions of Christians. All he knew was that there was a bunch of messengers that came, and he'd lost everything like that. And then next thing you know, his health goes down to nothing, to where he's just sitting in an ash pile scraping himself. And then his wife, she has that moment of weakness. And again, I said that morning, I'm not too harsh on Job's wife. She was going through a lot there. But listen, folks, I mean, he didn't know that all this was going to be written down. But I'll bet in heaven today, he's glad that he kept his integrity. I'm glad. I'll bet you in heaven today, when he is in heaven and has been, and there's constant Christians, new Christians coming into God's presence, and yes, they want to see Jesus, and yes, they want to see loved ones, but probably not too far down the list. Where's Job at? You have no idea what an encouragement your life was. But wait a minute. God didn't come rushing down and say that. Because if we knew all of that, you say, well, that would help. But listen, you wouldn't be living by faith, okay? So unspeakable joy is available to those who choose to live by faith. Now, let me give you the last one. Boy, this may be the most important one. Think about this. Because, folks, this entire Christian life, it's about a person. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So look again, if you will, in verse 7 and 8, 1 Peter chapter 1, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I love this next phrase. Whom having not seen, ye love. Whom having not seen, ye love. Unspeakable joy is available to those who choose to love the one we have yet to see. Now, let's talk about this, okay? And again, I don't want to come across as judgmental. But I will say this, folks, listen to me. And be very transparent. There's a large part of my Christian life that I lived. And to be honest with you, it was more about rules and regulations and standards than it was about a person. And because of that, I wrestled with the rest of it. But when your pastor, as a young man, when I realized that the entire Christian life is about a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I began to develop that personal relationship with him, all of the other things were easy. Okay, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, listen, it's easy to keep his commandments if you love him. You say, and here's a fair question that, you know, is a very personal question and one that, you know, I can only answer within my heart and you need to answer within your heart. But do we really love Jesus? Can you love someone you've never seen? Can you love someone you've never seen? How come certain Christians experience joy unspeakable and peace that passeth understanding? And preacher, it just seems like those things elude me. I think it's connected with your relationship with Christ. Not just living by faith, but a relationship, a love for the Savior. I want you to think about that a minute, okay? Because that's a fair question, a good question. You say, preacher, I mean, I know about Jesus. I read about Jesus. I trusted in Jesus. You know, I believe in Jesus. Well, do you love him? You say, well, preacher, is it possible to love somebody that you've never met? I loved my wife before I met her.
Amen.
Say, what? Yeah. Thank goodness that Jack and Penny Gordon and Dad saw fit to make sure that the teens were taken to these conferences and camps. And you know what I heard a lot preached when I was growing up? By the way, you know what your pastor preaches a lot to the next generation of teenagers is this. You know what? God made somebody specifically for you and they're out there. And by the way, they're real. And once you believe that, and if you can get teenagers to believe that, and I believe it. I think you go back all the way, Genesis. Come on, we always talk about, you know, the law of first mention. And God didn't take seven ribs from Adam, make seven women, and say, date around and see which one you like. He made a helper, meet or specifically designed for Adam. And I don't believe that God has become unorganized since then.
Right.
I believe that every single young lady, God has made a young man for you. And every single young man, God has made a young lady for you. And so, you know, are you going to trust during your teenage years? Are you going to prepare during your teenage years and early adulthood years, or are you going to pursue? And most people pursue because they don't trust. Once you get to the point where you're like, okay, well, if God's created somebody for me, and by the way, it was God that brought Eve to Adam in God's time. And listen to me, young people, I don't care what other young people do and other preachers preaching the nonsense and foolishness that's going around. But I'm going to tell you something. In God's time, he brought Eve to Adam.
Amen.
And until then, he put Adam in a deep sleep. Some of you need to go to sleep in this area. Come on, we've got some of it stirring in ours, and parents don't encourage it.
Amen. Right.
Okay, we got too many girls that are getting a little boy crazy too early. Amen. And too many guys that are getting a little boy crazy too early. Okay, and by the way, if you got influence in our teens, I don't need you waking this up in them. Okay, it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to talk about the reality of it. But don't stir it up. Okay, God in his time's got it. And when that finally sunk through my teenage brain, and I realized that God had it taken care of, you know what I did? I just said, done with this. I ain't spending my time, my teenage years, chasing this relationship, that relationship, and this relationship. I think what I ought to do is just work on the relationships that are right for this time in my life, which is my relationship with God, my relationship with my parents. Come on, my relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And just listen, I'm just going to pursue the will of God and believe that on the path of the will of God, God will bring that person into my life in his time and his place, and I'm going to trust him to do it. And you just, then you know what you do? You just, so listen, once I realized that, I realized, listen, there's somebody out there that God has created, some young lady that God has created, and just because I haven't met her yet doesn't mean she's not real. And God made her for me. And that means when I wake up in the morning, she's waking up in the morning, and I'm going to begin to pray for her. Are you understanding? I prayed for my wife before I ever knew who she was. I loved my wife before I ever met her. So I suppose if I could do that, then you can love Jesus even though you've never seen him. All right, let's try something else, okay? I'm not sure I got all of you there, all right? Okay, listen, let me tell you, I shouldn't speak for all guys, but let me tell you. When Cheryl told me that we were expecting our first baby, okay? I mean, I got excited and yeah, we're gonna have a baby and you know, pretty soon it became evident that we were gonna have a baby because, you know, she began to show and it was obvious and we're gonna have a baby and she's pregnant. And first 3 months, you girls that go through morning sickness, oh my goodness sakes. I pray extra for our young ladies that have to face that because Cheryl would go, all three of our girls, she went through 3 months of just, I mean, I can't even describe it. She couldn't eat. She could barely keep water down. She would lose 25, 30 pounds, which she couldn't afford to lose. And to the point where we just about had put her in the hospital. And then finally she gained a little appetite back. Come on, husbands, you better know how to hold that hair back out of the way while they're okay. All right. Amen. Come on. How much do you love them? Amen. And so, okay, now let me tell you guys' perspective on this, okay? So I know we're going to have a baby and I'm going to be a daddy. And I know that technically I am a daddy. And yes, we're going to have a child. And then we go into the delivery room. She has the baby and they hand it to me. And I'm like, we have a baby. I'm a dad. It's like until I saw the baby, it was like I thought I believed. Now, listen, I've never been pregnant. And neither has any other man. Okay, leave it alone, Jerry. All right. But I'm going to tell you something. It was a lot more real to the woman carrying that child than it was to the man. It's almost like we had to see it to believe it. And I can remember that shock like, Cheryl, we have a baby. And she's looking up, no kidding. Come on, there's not a mom in here that doesn't understand what I'm going to say next. Long before you seen that baby, you loved her. You loved that child. Now, folks, if we can do that to a child that's not been born, we can do that as we pray for a future spouse. Why can't we love Jesus even though we've never seen him? And as you purposely invest in your relationship with Jesus Christ, as you get to know him, as you grow closer to him, as you find different levels of love that you experience with him, you know, if he then says to me, you're going to have to go through some things, and I'm not really going to explain a whole lot about it, but I need you to, come on, trust me. And I need you to kind of walk by faith. And I need you to know that You know how much you love me? I love you infinitely more. And you're mine. And I got you. You know, people going through trials, people facing difficult things. A lot of times, I will text them one little simple phrase. Listen, God's got this. God's got it. Yeah, but how's it going to turn out? I don't know, but God's got it. And I think that if you take that one little phrase and you just put it into your life and say, listen, I'm just not going to turn my back on the one that I love just because he's asked me to go through difficult things. Now, folks, listen, this joy unspeakable, it's available. It's available. But it is strongly connected to your love that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have a strong love, listen, we ought to love Christ above all and above everything. And if I do that, keeping his commandments, not hard. If I had this personal relationship with him, I'm not whining and crying about where the Bible draws lines of holiness and separation from the world. It just, to me, it's no big deal. You know why? Because if somebody that I love and who I know loves me infinitely more asks me to do something, I want to do it. And so I want you to seek that out. During the hard times in your life, let me tell you what will get you through. Stay in love with Jesus. Well, it sounds so simple. Stay in love with Jesus. I want you to love the one who you have yet to see. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being there on the sunshiny days and on the mountaintop. But I also, Lord, want to thank you for being there during the storms and at the midnight hour. And Lord, as we traverse our life's path that winds, yes, up some mountains and allows us to see some victories, but also down through some valleys where there's the testings. I just pray, Lord, that we would handle them and handle what you've asked us to go through with a Christian maturity. We wouldn't allow bitterness to slip into our heart. We wouldn't begin to hold a grudge. We wouldn't be tempted to turn away from you. But Lord, that we would just simply say, you know, this is something very precious and valuable that God is trusting me with. And there's some things that God's gonna use this in my life to grow me, to teach me, and to give me an appreciation for things that maybe I take for granted. And Lord, I pray, dear God, we just learn to walk the faith walk. I mean, the just shall live by faith. It's no matter, whatever, God, whatever you send, it doesn't matter, God, whatever you send, whatever you ask me to face, I'm just going to walk by faith. I'm going to live by faith. I trust you. Deepen our love for the Savior. Lord, help us. Help us to love you as we ought. And God bless our people. I've talked about difficult things, and I'm not trying to diminish the difficulty of what some of our folks are going through. But it should not. I believe it should not steal our joy. So help those that need it to discover joy unspeakable and full of glory.